Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine Podcast Radio. You're about to listen to an episode of The Uncommon Journey Podcast with Alyssa Miller, Chloe Mazdaghi, and Philip Wiley. The trio focuses on the unique journeys that people take to break into cybersecurity and the value of diversity for this industry. Many personalities share their stories and encourage those interested in starting a career in InfoSec to embrace their unique backgrounds, even when not technology-related. Enjoy the journey. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
Well, hello and welcome. It's another episode of the Uncommon Journey Podcast. I'm your host, Alyssa Miller, here with the two most amazing co-hosts anybody could ever ask for. It's Philip Wiley.
Hello.
And Chloe Mazdaghi.
Hola.
Oh, God. You know what? So here we are again. It's post-election time. And, well, when we're recording this, we still don't know what's going on. So this bear wrestler, this pre-med student, this humanitarian, we're going back to the InfoSec bar once again. And we walk in, and who's sitting there? She's at a table with a glass of wine and a glass of Hendrix, just ready to go. It's Mary Galloway. Hey, Mary, how are you?
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to Las Vegas. I'm great. I'm just ready to get this election thing over with and start moving on and start doing what we have to do. So happy to be here.
Wait, there's a life outside of the election? I was not aware of this. Wait, there was something? We did something before this election?
You know, by the time this airs, maybe we'll actually know who the next president's going to be.
Yeah.
Could be.
Who will it be? I don't know.
We should probably have a pool on that or something. Like, bets. But anyway, we're not here to talk about the election. We're here to talk all about Mary. So I think we all know you pretty well, but there might be some people listening who maybe aren't as familiar with who you are and your body of work. So could you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
So I am I think 11-year veteran of cyber and IT. I got my start way back in the day at a company called Accenture doing network administration, network engineering stuff. I almost quit because I hated the job. I was the only female and I was the only minority female and I just hated it. And I really wanted to get hands-on and like pull cables and configure routers and switches, and they were not giving me the time of day. So then I moved on to a few other government organizations. I think my husband just got home, and worked my way through the InfoSec community, doing cybersecurity stuff, helping build insider threat programs, helping with working with SolarWinds. I became a super SolarWinds expert, network traffic analysis for US CERT. Then I left the government and said, I'm out because I need to make some money and I can't make money in the government or in DC, and moved out to Las Vegas to help one of the casinos build out their vulnerability management program. And I actually just left the casino last week, was my last week. I'm going to another company on Monday to do architecture work with them. I'll make that announcement.
Congratulations on that. That's super exciting.
Yeah, I'm going to a product company, which is kind of cool. I've never worked for the vendor side of things. So outside of that, I am a founding board member and the current CEO for the Women's Society of Cyberjitsu, a cybersecurity community for women. Alyssa and Chloe were both on. Chloe got her first award from us last week. Yay, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Still shocked. Still shocked.
You're doing great stuff. And Alyssa, your speech was awesome. Everybody was talking about it. I think they still talk about it. So thank you for being there. We're so excited to have had you. And I like to build Legos and do puzzles.
Wow. So there's like, we got tons to talk about today. This is great. I love it. So I just got to say, you know, again, congrats on the new job. And I actually know that feeling all too well of that first dive into the vendor space. I did that at the beginning of this year. So I'm kind of curious. And I don't want you to get in trouble with your potential new employer or your confirmed new employer, I guess. But what are some of the things? I mean, what kind of, are there things that you feel nervous or unsure about going into that? I'm actually kind of curious.
So I like to dive into technology. So if I'm given a project, you know, I dig into, you know, like NextPose and Kenna Security and just understand how those tools work. So I'm actually, I guess this will air after I start. I'm actually going to Palo Alto to work with their Cortex team to do architecture with them. So I'm a little nervous because the interview process, they give you this escape room and it's like, build me a script. I'm like, yeah, I'm technical, but I don't have to build scripts to do anything. So it was a challenge. So I'm a little nervous about that, but the culture seems really cool. Everybody that I've spoken to seems really cool. And I feel like I'll probably fit right in, but I'm excited to learn about the SOAR platform that they have and, you know, the endpoint stuff. Cause I didn't get to work on that much at the casino because we were just starting those projects when I left. So I'm really excited about that.
Well, that's awesome. Since you like Legos, have you played around with the Lego Mindstorm robots?
Yes. So glad you brought that up. So the nonprofit, we have a girls program out on the East Coast, and one of the workshops we do with them is Lego Mindstorm. And so when we had to buy our own for that particular program, I actually built the Legos and I actually played around with them because I like to do that kind of stuff. And I don't own any Mindstorms myself, but I do have a really big Millennium Falcon, the Star Wars thing back here on this bookshelf. So, yeah.
Yeah, my daughter's actually, I got her Lego Mindstorm robots probably when she was in middle school or something. So she really enjoyed it too.
Oh yeah. It's a cool, you know, it's funny when we first did the very first workshop back in 2014 on that, I think I had more fun than the kids did. I was like, oh, we got to make it move like this. And I was just really super excited about it. Cause when we grew up, we didn't have that kind of stuff. You know, Legos were just kind of boring and dull.
Yeah. Just sharp objects. Come along. And step on.
Exactly.
Very cool.
So Mary, talking more about this Lego situation, because I'm really curious, when did you start becoming a fan of Legos? Was it something when you were little or when you got much older? What inspired it?
So I mean, I had the typical Legos when I was young. You know, my folks bought the big box of, it was a big blue box that had like the Lego look on top and had all these things in there. But I think I really, really got into it because I was an architecture student before I transitioned over to fully IT and information systems. And when they introduced the Lego architecture system, line of blocks, I was like, I got to have all of those. And so that was probably, I don't know, I got married in 2003, so like 2006 or something. And then I saw the Star Wars, the big Star Wars before this one, and I was like, ooh, I really want that. I'm not a Star Wars fan, by the way. I just like to build Legos. And so that's kind of, if it's architecture or something challenging, I like to take it on.
It's actually really interesting because I wonder how many, you know, women in tech kind of get their start with things like that, whether it's, you know, Legos and especially, yeah, some of the new ones like the Mindstorm stuff, or even back mm-hmm. when they were doing some of the other just robotics things with Legos or, you know, other things like that. It's so interesting because you think about the stereotypical, you know, girls' toys versus boys' toys. I right. literally just tweeted something about this the other day with a picture of like high heels and, you know, pink high heels and pink broom and dustpan. Like, wait, what?
Really? Yeah.
Someone was actually selling this. And so it's, you know, I love when I hear these stories about girls who were encouraged when they were young to be able to play with stuff that, you know, maybe doesn't fit that story. Right.
Right.
And really allows them to just be authentic in themselves. I mean, so I'm curious from your perspective, does that feel kind of like maybe, was it more that you were there and the Legos gave you an outlet and that continued on? Or do you feel like maybe even just that interest kind of exploded your interest in tech?
I wanted to build like models of cities. And on the side, I was doing information systems at my first college. I mean, obviously we use tech and architecture. It wasn't until probably like 2003 where I was like, you know what? I moved to another location and I had to go to the school there and they didn't have architecture. but they had a business degree that was in computer information systems. And that kind of, I said, oh, you know what, this fits what I'm trying to do. So I don't know if the Legos played a role in that. I just knew I liked to do architecture stuff, which is kind of funny because I'm doing architecture now, but in a different fashion. So I guess it kind of came full circle. But it's definitely, I can see a correlation for others to where those kinds of things just helps them think outside of the box and start building and figuring out, you know, I like the non-traditional things. And Legos are pretty unisex, right? It doesn't matter if you're a girl or boy or whatever. Everybody can get enjoyment from Lego.
I mean, I would argue everything is that way. It's just we haven't always...
That's true.
We've unfortunately gendered everything. I mean, because even when I was young, like, girls playing with Legos was kind of a, you know, that would get looks, you know? And I mean, I'm old, so, you know, a child of the early 80s here. But yeah, even just that short time span of those couple decades, it's changed so much from what it used to be.
Oh, man. Do you guys remember, like, getting your kids' meal or something, and like,
yes,
two options, Barbie or
race
car. And every time I'd be like, can I get the race car? Oh, that's for the boys. I'm like, yep. How dare you, sir? How dare you need the car? I only give this to boys. Wow.
I want the car, so give me the car.
I don't want this food. I just want the car.
Right. I'm only here for the toys, guys. Come on. Get it together.
Come on.
Well, hopefully that's changing. I get Happy Meals every now and then. I try to stay away from McDonald's, but those fries sometimes. Those fries, especially on a drunken night when you're out. I don't condone drinking and driving, by the way.
Well, they add a touch of sugar to it, and that is probably the reason why a lot of people like their fries. But for me, I don't like soggy fries. Sometimes I get in, I'm like, it's so soggy, and it makes me sad because I'm like, I don't want this. Can you fry me it one more time? I like
no salt, please. I think that's the way you have to go. They have to cook them without the salt, and then they're a little bit, and then add the salt later. That's how you get the perfect combination.
Definitely on that. So, Mary, I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. For our listeners that may not know about Cyberjutsu, do you mind sharing a little bit about them?
So we are a national 501c3 nonprofit community for women doing hands-on cybersecurity training, providing networking opportunities, leadership opportunities, and basically helping women and minorities and everybody pretty much, whoever wants to be a part of it, build their community in the industry. We know it's important to have the hands-on training so that you can, you know, go and interview for a job and know what to do. And then once you're on the job, you know what to do. But it's also important to have your community to help, you know, support you, to back you up. Like I said, when I first got in this, I was going to leave. And I didn't have a community of folks that I could turn to and say, hey, I'm having these issues. I need help, yada, yada, yada. And so when I found Cyberjutsu in 2013, because I failed the CISSP by 4 points, boo, I found a community of women wanting to be hackers, wanting to be forensicators, wanting to do some of the non-technical or not as technical cybersecurity roles. And it was great. We do a lot of competitions, so be on the lookout for Wicked 6 2021. If anybody wants to sponsor, let me know. Had to plug that. We're planning that now. It's cybersecurity meets esports for a cause. So we take the idea of watching people play, I guess, like Fortnite or whatever those other games are, but we turn it into cybersecurity. So you're watching people do smaller missions of cybersecurity stuff on a gaming platform. And this year it was on Circadence. And you have shoutcasters and folks like explaining what's going on and what they're doing and, you know, what the tools are they're using. And we do it here in Las Vegas at the HyperX Arena. So you can see on the big screen in that place, you know, what's going on, what's happening. It's a pretty cool experience. We also have our girls program out on the East Coast, which we're trying to make a national program where we introduce middle school and high school girls to STEM topics. So anatomy of a computer, Python programming, Lego Mindstorm, Makey Makeys, all the way, anything pretty much to get them exposed to technology and encourage them to consider a career in technology. They also do competitions at that level, Cyber Patriots, some of the other competitions. And not only do they learn technical skills, they also learn those core skills of, you know, leadership and teamwork, and you know, they get confidence on, like, I can do this stuff too. And so that's what we do. And we partner with organizations like WoSEC, and we are, what is it, We Are Hackers now?
Yep.
Okay.
Can I just first of all say thank you for referring to them as core skills and not that
soft skills?
Soft skills term. Thank you very much.
I hate that word. Yes.
That one drives me crazy because it's, you know, I look at these things and I'm a big proponent of core skills because those are the skills that are transferable, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can use that in any industry, anywhere.
Yep.
And it's so important that we recognize that. Like, and people are probably tired of hearing me talk about this, but I have this metaphor of, you know, going from being a barista, how a coffee barista has very specific core skills that translate really, really well into being a SOC analyst, right?
Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
You know, it's like, I feel like if we could start recognizing that, that would probably draw out more of these people who otherwise right. feel like they're somehow excluded. And so I love the fact that that's, you know, something you guys are doing, along with, of course, providing representation and other things that are critical for drawing in, you know, some of the underrepresented demographics that we really need to have in security.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely need that. We need the diversity. And we have to, as a community, we have to step out of the traditional places to find it and go to places we wouldn't necessarily go. And that's difficult for some because they don't necessarily know where to go. But the information's out there. So there's no excuse.
Yeah, that's really great. I really like the way you have the education aspect and the hands-on, you know, because there's a lot of different groups get together to discuss security, but not always the hands-on opportunity. So that's really great. So could you tell us a little more about the girls organization on the East Coast?
So right now it's on hold, obviously because of COVID, but it's typically through the school year, one Saturday a month starting in usually like October timeframe. And each month they get together. We have instructors come in. They teach, you know, their topics of knowledge. Most of them have taught children and kids, so they know how to make the content engaging. And it goes for 9 months. During that time, we also build out our Cyber Patriots teams, which is really cool because we've always had about four or five different Cyber Patriots. And if you don't know Cyber Patriots, it's basically the Air Force Association's cyber competition, mostly defensive. And you know, they have practice materials, and each month or each quarter or something like that, they have a competition. And you go through, and the stuff that you learn throughout the year through the practice sessions and all that, you actually go and compete in the competition. And I think I just talked to one of the guys today. They had 7,000 teams register for Cyber Patriots this past year. Yeah. And it's a really cool program because it gives them a little bit more in-depth knowledge on security concepts and how to be defenders of, you know, systems and in organizations. And it helps them kind of bridge whatever knowledge they had with real world experience to say, hey, I'm interested in this, or I want to do this. They give scholarships out. And I believe I just saw that they have international partners too. So for those folks that are overseas, they have Cyber Patriots for those different countries as well. Our team's made it this year to the platinum level, which is like the level before the finals, I believe. So that's kind of cool because we've been doing it for 6 years now. And for them to get to that point, you know, the girls love it. You know, they get to hang out with their friends weekly, monthly, and just talk tech stuff.
Oh, so that's really cool. Good to
get. We're trying to expand it.
Good. It's good to get the youth started that early into it, you know, because there's such a need and gap in that area, and it's such a good opportunity. And good that you provide a safe place for them to be able to get together and feel comfortable and not just the typical what they have at school type thing. So that's great.
Yep.
And then to have the ramp up and some education prior to Cyber Patriots is good.
Oh yeah. If you haven't seen that program, it's a really, like, they put a lot of work and effort into building out the materials for that program. So it's a really good program, I think.
Oh, very cool.
So Mary, I have a question for you. Okay. If you could do any role within security, what would it be?
What would it be? Tough question. I don't know. When I moved to Vegas, my goal was to be a CISO. And somebody asked me why. And I said, because I want to help organizations build out their security strategy, build out their security posture. And then I realized, I don't care if I'm a CISO or not. I just want to help folks do this job, you know, help them do their stuff. So I don't know. I wanted to be a pen tester at first. When I met Lisa, I was like, yeah, I want to be a pen tester. That's why I kind of looked this up, yada, yada, yada. I had just got my CEH back then. And then I was just like, pen testing is not, they don't have a lot of pen test jobs. They do, but they don't. And then I was like, well, I kind of like this consulting thing. So probably a consultant. It's kind of boring, right? It's not a fun job, but you get to talk to people. You get to interact with people. You get to help people. And I like to help folks. So probably some kind of security consultant.
I mean, they're not all boring. Let's be fair. I mean, not all consultant work is like, you know, and I'm sorry to the folks that work at the big fours, but you know, that there is that image of being very stiff and very uptight and, you know, and having worked for one myself, you know, there's some stereotyping going on. There's also some validity. But yeah, I mean, I've also worked for other really, really badass consulting groups. And so, yeah, you can have fun with it. And it is a really interesting, it's a great field to be in because yeah, you can touch in so many different industries and see so many different things and you learn so much. And so, yeah, I can totally understand and identify with that answer. So, and of course, as we both are commiserating now, I'm being product people, but, but so exactly. In light of that, I mean, what do you see as kind of the challenges that we need to be looking for kind of coming up in security? I mean, there's a lot of things, there's a lot of ideas. We've seen some recent press on different quotes that have come out that people have, you know, been dunking all over, including myself. But from your perspective, where do you think we're headed now in these next few years that like someone who's a CISO or advising at a CISO level would need to be aware of?
You know, as far as technology advancements and things like that, obviously AI, understanding that, understanding how you can incorporate that into your organization if you use it, definitely the cloud. Infrastructure is going away, right? You're not going to have infrastructure on site anymore. People like at the casino, we're moving everything to the cloud, everything that we can. And we're going to continue, well, they're going to continue to move stuff to the cloud. So being ahead of that curve is going to be very important. And then talent. I think talent's going to always be a challenge unless organizations start to really look at what it is they need and how they can utilize the talent that's already out there, right? There's so many people that have, you know, the passion and the aptitude and the drive to do this stuff, but can never get in, right? And that's because companies don't know exactly what they need. They want that unicorn that can do cloud security and network security and forensics and pen testing. And it's like, who does that all at once? You really want four people, but you want to save money and try to just get one person. And so once we shift the mindset of it's okay if somebody doesn't have the necessary skills right away, if we're willing to train them, give them on the job training, send them to a training course, that's fine. You know, that's going to help the company's bottom line. And then budgeting. There's no cyber budget for most companies. Like that should be the first thing you budget for is cybersecurity. Because how can you protect your assets if you don't have people in place and money and cybersecurity budgets and all that to do it? So that's what I think. Blockchain might be something too. People are moving towards that blockchain thing big time right now. So
feel like every time I hear blockchain, a part of me is like, I'm going to go find that bottle of wine somewhere. It's got to be somewhere else.
Someone's on blockchain, not, take a drink.
Yeah. But I do definitely agree on the trying to get people to understand over and over again that, like, if you don't invest in security, you don't have a product. You will lose the trust of your customers if you have a breach. And I don't know how many times it takes for a company to have so many breaches for them to realize, oh, maybe we should start, like, making sure we give enough budget for security folks.
Right.
Sales and marketing, you always think of the return on revenue, but you don't think of what can go really, really wrong really, really fast. And
this is true.
One of the other things, I know, like, being a CISO, one of the things that's really stressful can also be, like, the whole apathy towards security, because most of the time, those are going to click on those phishing links in your company are going to be non-security folks. What advice do you have for that particular situation? How do we change the apathy in our companies? And I mean companies that are non-security focused.
Well, I'm guilty of clicking on those those phishing simulations. I did it once. It was Mother's Day and I didn't have a gift yet. And I was like, oh, click. And I was like, God dang it, they got me. Really, it's going to be, you know, I don't know. Besides ongoing training, because you're having to deal with people's behavior. You know, phishing, those things, phishing plays on that behavior, right? I mean, I clicked on a Mother's Day email because I needed a gift. That my emotions were, shoot, I didn't get something, I need to do this. And some of those well-crafted emails will get people all the time. I think doing the training and then having other measures in place for if they do, because no matter what you do, somebody's going to click on something. That's just going to happen. But having something in place, you know, once they click, you know, something that blocks whatever's happening or, you know, stops it in its tracks or sends an alert somewhere, those kinds of things will help, like a defense in depth methodology. I don't think there's ever going to be a way to stop folks from clicking those emails. You may be able to stop them from coming in. I know there's companies now coming out that have their main focus is business email compromise, and they look at stuff like that. But as long as you're dealing with human emotion, there's nothing you can do about that.
No, and the other thing, and kind of to build off your point, actually, is, you know, it's an idea of just being resilient, right? Getting away from this idea that we're going to stop all the attacks.
Right.
We're going to identify all the vulnerabilities. It doesn't happen. We've known that. We've joked about it. And yet we still kind of target trying to get everything. And
right.
So, yeah, I love the point about, yeah, how do you make it resilient so that when something does go wrong, it doesn't go really, really, really wrong.
Yep.
And I think that's where we're starting to see some shift too, is just that type of focus. So if there's something right now in the security community as a whole, kind of thinking about this and how we interact with these situations, if there was something you could change about our community right now to make it more effective, aside from obviously a lot of work you're already doing trying to make the community more effective, but what would it be? What is something that you feel like we're just really still not getting right that we could be changing and making better?
Geez, you guys ask all the good questions. Well, obviously diversity. I think where we're starting to do a better job is with mentoring and helping not only the ones that are trying to enter the industry, but the ones that are already here. That are trying to advance, that are kind of like mid-career, stuck, don't really know what to do, where to go. I think as a community, we could rally around that a little bit more, because we have all of the breaking into cyber, the breaking in, but okay, now what? You know, I'm in, what do I do next? You know, I've been in, even for me, I've been in for so long, it's like, well, how do I go to this next step? Because I've been technical the whole time. And, we could definitely do a better job of mentoring and training up the next generation of senior leadership, mid-level leadership, because that's what's going to help keep us resilient, is doing that.
I agree. And now I'm going to give you 10 questions that are rapid fire. Are
you ready? Let's do it. Yes.
Okay. Okay. I would say roll up your sleeves, but you're wearing a t-shirt, so I don't have to do that. You already did it ahead of time. See, you came prepared. All right. So first question for you is, what's your favorite weather?
Desert.
You could live anywhere in California. Where would you live?
San Diego.
What is your favorite thing to drink that's non-alcoholic?
There's this juice that we get. It's, I can't even think of the name of it. It's like called Morning Blend. It's like 100% juice, and it's full of, you know, vegetables and fruits and all that stuff. I don't know the name of it though, but it's really good.
Is it orange or green?
It's orange.
Okay. Yeah. Next question for you is, what's your favorite book?
Dare to Lead by Brené Brown.
If you could tell whoever's the next president one piece of advice, what would you tell him?
Don't fuck it up. Is that allowed to be said?
That is absolutely the fucking perfect answer. How about that? Okay.
What is the one thing that you wish every single American knew?
Common sense. Thank you, husband.
How did you meet your husband?
We met in middle school back in 97. So, yeah. It's been 20 plus years.
Yeah.
Wow, that's rare. Middle school sweethearts. That's it.
Yep.
What is your spirit animal?
I don't know. Hummingbirds. I love hummingbirds. We have one in the backyard named Stuart.
That's amazing. Actually, that's my nickname is Hummingbird.
And oh, cool.
Yeah. Someone in the InfoSec community has described me as a hummingbird on crack. So, it's quite interesting.
I really can't argue with that.
I can. I mean, how many projects do I do? And I keep going. All right, what's your favorite movie?
Teen Witch or Labyrinth?
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a toss-up between the two.
What is the one thing that you can recommend for people that feeling overwhelmed at this moment?
This too shall pass. It's a tough year for everyone. But as a culture, as a society, as the human race, we've overcome probably a lot worse. And this too will pass. We'll come out of this much stronger, more resilient. I like that word, clearly. And just better equipped for what's going to come for the future. So if you're feeling overwhelmed, unbalanced, you know, take some time for yourself, meditate, drink a glass of wine. Exercise has helped me this week. I've gone through twice and I feel more energy. I feel more energetic. And so that's one of those things that helps as well.
Okay. My last question for you is, if you could have any job in the world on anything, what would it be?
My dream job is a Walmart host greeter person. So when I retire, I want to be at the front doors of Walmart. I don't know why. The folks that work there, they look so happy all the time.
I need to go to your Walmart. The rare times I go to the Walmart around here, they never look happy. Anybody, like nobody working there looks happy to be there. So that's great. I'm glad that they are happy somewhere.
I think it's the retired folks. You know, when you get older and you're just out there working because you need to keep active, a lot of those folks, they're happy. They're just like, you know, greeting you. And so this like, this looks like a cool job to do when you retire. So that's
people. That's Meijer. Like when I go into Meijer, they've got a lot of those people that are like retired and they're just like, yeah, I'm just chill. I'm just here saying hi to people.
Right.
This is better than sitting at home watching, you know, reruns of I Love Lucy or something weird. Well, so that was 11 questions, Chloe. We're doing better, but you know.
Doing better. I just can't okay. stop myself when I have a guest.
But we've reached that time. I can't believe it. That went by so fast. But yeah, that is all the time we have. Mary, so great to have you. I'm so glad you joined us. It was a lot of fun.
I'm happy to have joined. I watch you guys all the time, all of you individually and collective, and I'm just like, wow, they're so freaking cool.
The feeling's mutual.
Yeah, definitely.
And I want all of you to come speak, either a workshop or a presentation or something.
Whenever.
To the members.
Just let us
find
me.
Yeah,
I will definitely.
Okay. Awesome. All right, folks. Well, on behalf of myself, Chloe, Philip, and Mary, thank you so much for tuning in to yet another crazy, wonderful episode of the Uncommon Journey podcast, where apparently we have no idea what we're going to talk about because we were talking about French fries today. So we will have yet another amazing guest next time. But until then, we'll see you on down the road. Take care.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Uncommon Journey podcast. If you learned something new and this conversation made you think, then share ITSPmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.